Welcome to the Landlord Diaries, where we talk about midterm rentals and the opportunities behind them. We'll share landlord stories, talk about maximizing investment potential, and discuss how to live the very best landlord life. This podcast is proudly brought to you by Furnished Finder, the leader and largest online marketplace for midterm rentals. Remember to like and subscribe if you enjoy our content.
Hey, hey guys, we are back. It's the Landlord Diaries host team, Kelly Bailey and Katie Lyon, coming to you from the Furnished Finder marketing team. And we happen to be midterm rental investors ourselves. I have about 6 doors in the Austin, Texas area. Katie's got around 10 doors, mainly in Iowa right now, a lot through arbitrage. So she's been able to scale really quickly. Today, we get to talk with Envy Invest, Andrew and Vince. What did you get from Andrew and Vince today, Katie?
Andrew and Vince are super savvy investors with a really, really good history and experience. And they've made the shift from long-term, and now they're taking a lot of those properties and making them midterm because they get a lot of increased cash flow from that transition. So we get to talk a lot of logistics, a lot of strategy, a lot about pivots. And it was just really great talking with these guys. They have very complementary personalities and kind of expertise. So it's a great conversation. We hope you enjoy.
Today, we talk with California real estate investors Vince Rodriguez and Andrew McCormick, founders and managing partners of Envy Invest. These guys both have full-time jobs, are hosts of the RE Social podcast, and have over 10 million assets under management, 25 doors, over 700,000 annual gross rents, and over 1 million total capital raised. Their desire for cash flow led Envy to the midterm rental strategy with 6 doors currently on Furnished Finder. Guys, we're so happy to have you on the show. Thanks for being here. How are you today?
We're doing good, guys.
I'm gonna let Andrew tell us where he is, because that looks like somewhere I want to be.
Mexico City. I'm in specifically the Roma Norte district, Polanco, all that. It's a very like kind of more upscale area with lots of neat little shops and cafes, bars. Just when I got in last night, I set my bags down. I sat right here on this couch and I was texting Vince and Rob. It's like, oh, I can hear a little bit of like some piano music in the distance. It was right downstairs actually. And I was already just in a good place.
So. That's awesome. Yeah. And Vince, you've got a pretty cool studio too, which I believe is where y'all record your RE Social podcast. So what's the theme of your studio there?
Yeah, so Drew and I actually met because we're both musicians. So we're into music. He's more of a musician than me. I'm more like a poser, I would say. But yeah,
I agree. Guitars,
yeah, everyone agrees. But yeah, so this is kind of like a built-in, like a homage to kind of both. And my roommate is also a musician too. So, awesome. And this is in my house. So yeah.
So cool. Okay. So from meeting as musicians to becoming real estate partners, Vince, how did you make that jump?
Well, about a decade ago, I went to this conference about like being social, talking to people and things like that. Nothing to do with music or real estate. And I asked some stupid question and Drew was sitting behind me and he tapped and said, "Hey, I'm also from Huntington Beach. Let's hang out." And I looked at him. I was like, "I'm never seeing this guy again for sure. There's no chance." But we started hanging out and, you know, over a long period of time, you know, we started reading books and we're like, "Hey, we should buy something together." He was like, "Yeah, let's do it." And we kind of just did it.
How many years ago was that?
That was six years ago. It'll be 6 years in July.
Nice.
All right. So tell us about you guys' current real estate goals and maybe how those have changed throughout the years.
My personal goal for in terms of things, all things real estate, is to really kind of get it in a very sustainable and scalable place with generous cash flow, being one of those things that we really have achieved. I would love to have, I mean, in a year's time, I would love to have just an easy covering Vince's living expenses amount coming in every month in net. So that way he has the choice. Like, well, do I want to go on a little unpaid vacation and be in Mexico with Andrew or, you know, do I want to keep grinding and stay here and stay local? Really getting it to a place where it's giving us options on top of everything else. It's already creating a lot of wins in terms of appreciation, in terms of tax benefits, et cetera, et cetera. But this is why we're really looking into the furnished model mid short term, now more midterm, and Furnished Finder being a big help for getting us to achieve that goal.
And Vince, what are y'all's 2024 goals to get you there?
Yeah. So as you could see, just from talking to me and him, we're different in terms of like personality wise. He's very relaxed and he's very social. He talks to a lot of people, you know, and he's literally in Mexico right now. Me, on the other hand, I wake up at 6 a.m. and do a cold plunge and don't eat food and like just on caffeine all day. So I make decisions a little bit different than him. So this actually put us, by me acquiring a lot of assets, putting a lot of stress on both of us because he's managing, right? I'm not really a good manager. I'm more on the different things. So I've learned to understand, you know, what works for different people and, you know, trying to tailor it towards like a more sustainable model. So, yeah, we've actually sold a lot of our properties last year, but we are still net buyers. So we still buy doors. So our goal for this year is to be, you know, cash flowing, nothing crazy, maybe like $5,000 a month. You know, we do bring in like $60,000 a month and we just happen to spend $60,000 a month. So we don't have any money. Sometimes we only bring in 55 because, you know, somebody don't pay rent. So then we have to go out of pocket and spend $5,000. So our goal is to just taper that a little bit more. We have made really good decisions in terms of acquiring good, solid assets that will cash flow. So if you really wanted to, we can both live in a room and literally cash flow $10,000 a month because we live in like expensive homes. So yeah, so we made some good choices and we've learned what works for us, what doesn't work for us, who's better at what, you know, so things like that. Yeah, that's the goal, sustainability.
All right. So tell us about the portfolio you guys have put together and that you have that's supporting these goals and getting you guys to where you want to be. What's it look like right now?
Yeah, I'll tell you those because Drew definitely does not even know how many houses he owns for sure. So we started off in Bakersfield. We at one point had 30 to 40 doors there and we started selling them off during the pandemic. And we only have one property left in Bakersfield, which is three doors. It's a triplex. We bought it for 190. It's worth maybe close to 400 now. So we will sell that off this year as well. And then we moved on to Inland Empire, which is, if anybody's in California, they know it's Riverside, San Bernardino County, Redlands area, Fontana. So we have about 10 doors there, maybe five, six properties. And then we have four properties in Orange County. I think another 10 doors. Most of them are duplexy or ADU. And then last year, because of our friend Rob, he's a good friend of ours, we started looking into outside Nashville area and we really started going, looking at that property. So we bought two brand new builds and we're buying the third one, which will be closing in 3 weeks. And then we also own a duplex there. So our goal is to continue buying in Tennessee. We raise funds through family and friends in our meetups. So we have enough funds to buy a property every month for the next, you know, few months. So we're just busy doing that. And it'll be mostly in Tennessee. So that's our goal. So our portfolio is, 26 doors, 12, 13 properties worth maybe, you know, $10 million. We probably have 20-25% equity in those. Not all of it is equity. As you guys know, it's all on loans. So Drew, me, myself, and my sister, we basically own about 70% of that portfolio.
Today's episode is proudly sponsored by Furnished Finder, the ultimate platform for hassle-free midterm rentals. Whether you're a seasoned landlord or just getting started, Furnished Finder has everything you need to find your next tenant. With Furnished Finder, you can say goodbye to booking fees, markups, and commissions, and hello to direct bookings. If you're ready to experience all the benefits renting your property for 30 days or more, head over to furnishedfinder.com where you can list your property for one low annual price. We make it easy to get started.
One of my favorite episodes was our early days, episode 1 with Brandi Jones. She is a powerhouse in Nashville, Tennessee. Y'all got to check that one out. Lots of great midterm rental tips in that episode, and still one of our most popular. So definitely check that out. That's a great portfolio. You guys have done so much, and it sounds like 6 years. And midterm rental wise, so cash flow led you from long term to midterm rentals, and I believe you got there because of I've listened to a couple of your things on your podcast and on other podcasts. So you guys have learned the difference in investing in blue states and red states. So let's hear a little bit about that and how it led to midterm rentals.
Do you want to go first before I go on a rant?
I want to hear your rant.
Rant version is, I do more on the ways of, I've tried to future plan our company and like kind of try to make decisions on when we should buy and sell. Because I mean, one of my favorite people is Kathy, who we talked about. Shout out to Kathy. And I follow her a lot, and she talks to like people like, different people. So she has a better perspective. And the reason that we got out of some of the properties, because I could see it coming, like, okay, this is not going to be good in 6 months. Rates are going up. It's be harder to sell. So we started selling and we made good money. And then that's the money we used. It's not like we're multimillionaires, right? We used that money to start buying one house at a time in Orange County. And people are like, why would you buy here? It's the worst decision of your life. And then we both own houses in Costa Mesa, which has together gone up by $400,000 in 2 years. And they're just like, oh, I wish I would have bought it. You told me don't buy, like literally like 2 years ago. You said I'm an idiot. Now they're like, I wish I bought it. And we have it locked at like 4% interest. Things like that make sense. But for the thing that you asked about the blue state and red state is just different states incentivize different behavior from people is what I've seen, right? So if you incentivize people and say, well, you don't have to pay rent. You can just stay in LA for 6 years and not do anything. And you're going to incentivize that kind of behavior, right? Or if you go to red state, they're like, we're going to come to your home in like 30 days and throw you on the street. You better get your stuff together. People are going to be like, okay, maybe I shouldn't like dick around for way too much, So we want to go to places where, if I own property, I'm from India. It's the biggest democracy in the world, right? And like, you can't be doing this stuff in India. We'll break your leg. Like, you can't just not pay rent and hang out with your loser buddies and just be like, oh, yeah, we'll literally send people to your home and be like, you have two dogs? Well, if you like the dogs, you want to pay rent. Like, literally, they're going to pay rent. So you want to go to places where it's like incentivizing behavior, where it's useful to the economy, right? So that's what we say. And, it's like not everybody, kind of does that. Like even me, I'm like super aggressive, but even me, if people don't pay rent, we'll usually talk to them and be like, hey, you haven't paid rent in 2 months. What's your plan? Like, do you have an out? And they're like, oh no, I lost my job and I can't really pay. I'm like, okay, no problem. Do you want to move out in 30 days? And I will literally waive all of your rent. There'll be no eviction, nothing. You can just leave. And most people will take that. And then I'll be like, that's cool, bro. Good luck to you and gone. There'll be some people who want to play the game. I'm like, okay, you can play games. You will never be able to rent again in California, though.
Doing your due diligence and really finding the right people. I mean, that's the right people is everything. No matter right. what your industry, no matter what you're doing, from the right tenants to the right business partners to the right husbands. Congratulations to you. 10 years. That's an amazing. Like, I'm sure your life has improved so much because you found a great partner. I'm making assumptions.
For those that are listening versus watching, he's referring to Kelly, host Kelly Bailey. We just went on a trip to Puerto Rico for our 10-year wedding anniversary. Woo woo! It was awesome. Got a little bit of a tan, which is always nice in the winter. And Vince also mentioned Kathy from a previous conversation before we started recording. Kathy Fetke is Real Wealth Network, and she's amazing. So if you want to hear more about Kathy, that's who we're talking about.
You know, you're talking about right people, and I think that is you know, you hit it spot on, and I think it's also right strategy, right? Because these properties that you might have that type of tenant that might be a little less responsible, less reliable, might leave the property in a pretty distressed condition, is going to be pretty typical for certain areas of different markets, right? You know, you're looking at a C-minus D area, that's going to be pretty common. And some investors love that. It's like the thrill of the game, and they get to get in and make these things better. I think it's very honest of you guys to be like, this was not our jam. Did not love trying to figure out, you know, these squatters, the evictions, the filth, all of those things, because for some people they see a lot of profit in that, and they're okay with those challenges, and there's a person for every challenge, right? But I would love to talk about how you guys kind of sat down and decided to shift and go into the furnished space. Because what's really cool about midterm tenants in specific, and especially those on Furnished Finder, is like they're going to places for typically a work contract, or they're being relocated, or they're on insurance housing or something. Like they're not there to just squat. So it's a whole different reason. So I'd love to get some insight kind of about like your decision to kind of pivot, right? It sounds like you guys just like, we're like, you know what, we're going to pause and pivot.
Yes. It was just mainly again, solving the only issue that we've had, which is cash flow. We're lucky in that we have high income jobs. I have a music school that I absolutely love. Vince is a brainiac manager engineer at his job, managing people, and you know, we combine those well, but luckily we have a high income. And so, you know, when tenants don't pay, that's on us. You know, if we're not making cash flow, it's coming out of our pocket. So we're highly incentivized to fix this problem. And so we've had a lot of these discussions like, well, okay, so we wrote a pretty big check this month. What are we gonna do for next month? Like, let's talk about where those blind spots have been and where the future is gonna be to fix cash flow. And at the same time, also continue with appreciation has completely saved us and changed my life already in terms of family legacy, in terms of just getting me out of, if you will, the rat race. Like if we sold everything right now, I could just live right here for a long time, right? Which I have no intention of doing. I actually love to work. I love to build, love to create. So the problem is cash flow. And so we're just simply making these small moves of selling assets that are just giving us more and more problems. Usually those are that are older and that just like, oh, now the electrics, oh, now the plumbing. Oh, now it's just like always, it's a money pit, you know, it's like that Tom Hanks movie. And so we're getting rid of those. And the first thing came up because I was starting to kind of nerd out on it. I come from a hospitality background. And I was like probably about a year of just YouTubing and podcasting and just actually reading great books on it. And then we just dove in, and right behind Vince is one of our first. I did a lot of it myself. I was excited to do it. Then the second and the third, and then we just keep learning, keep growing. And it's definitely been helping us a lot in the cash flow aspect, for sure. It's still not where we want it to be, but the reason why we're going to these red states is because it is hitting all those markers. The laws are written in a way to incentivize people to not squat. We're buying new builds with 10 years of insurance on them. It's incentivizing us to buy because we got all these other, you know, bad memories of like, oh, we had cash flow and now 10 grand on plumbing. You know, it's just like, it's a classic real estate, investor problem, but, this is explaining all of our behaviors. We're running on incentives as well. And so without going too much further, that furnished model came up because I kind of was wanting to just figure out some way to keep doing what we're doing, but bring in the cash.
Hey, landlords, are you ready to level up your rental game and simplify your midterm rental business? Well, get ready to meet your new best friend, KeyCheck. KeyCheck is your all-in-one solution for stress-free property management. With tenant-paid screenings, online rent payment processing, custom lease creation, and a suite of incredible landlord tools, you'll wonder how you ever lived without it. No more chasing down checks or sifting through piles of applications. KeyCheck helps you organize and manage all things landlording in a simple and efficient way. Make landlord life a breeze with KeyCheck, the game changer for modern property owners. Visit KeyCheck.com to unlock the power of stress-free property management and take your rental business to new heights.
So let's dive into the midterm rental portion of your portfolio. So on Furnish Finder, it looks like you've got a mix of 1 and 2 bedrooms, and I believe most of them are duplexes. Correct me if I'm wrong. Tell us about your midterm rental properties briefly.
Yeah, we actually don't buy anything less than 2 or 3 bedrooms. But you know, sometimes we'll buy a house and it'll have an ADU, which will be a 1 bedroom. So that usually goes on like Furnish Finder, and then we will live in the main house. So you might have seen that. So like we said, we started with Bakersfield all long-term. We went to Inland Empire all long-term. And then I figured out, oh, I could squeeze more out of Drew and just destroy him by just buying a bunch of short-term rentals, which he will manage for me for free. I was like, oh, cool. I got this guy here. So and then I started buying stuff and I didn't realize, oh, I bought too much and he's dead. So now he's in Mexico. So we kind of like, you know, had to scale back a little bit and be like, well, short term is a lot of work. Long term is very little work. I was like, okay, is there a midterm? And somehow, I don't even know how, but I came across Landlord Diaries, right? The podcast.
Woo woo.
And then that was one of the reasons I started looking it up. And I was like, oh, there's like this whole community. And then, of course, we got Sarah Weaver. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get Sarah on the podcast. And after we spoke with Sarah, we were like, dude, I think we can do this. Like, Sarah's not even in the country. She's hiking in freaking Kilimanjaro or something crazy. And she's got like a dozen properties.
And that's Bigger Pockets author Sarah Weaver of the book 30 Day Stay. She wrote it with Ziana McIntyre.
Yeah. Great read. Read it twice.
Yep. Yeah. Forward by Kathy Fetke.
Yep.
Yeah. We're super nerds. So yeah, that's how we started, you know, looking into that process. And, you know, we even some of a lot of our Orange County portfolio is all tailored towards midterm rentals. And then all of our Tennessee, which we have, we're closing on our 4th, I believe. Yes. 4th property, 5th door. Yeah, thank you. And that is also all tailored towards midterm rentals, which we use, you know, Furnish Finder too. We're trying to get more, since we started off with like other OTAs, we're more familiar with that. But, you know, since our business model is more tailored towards midterm rentals and nurses and furnished corporate housing or people who lost their homes, you know, we're going after more sites like Furnish Finder, which actually doesn't charge you a per fee, and they don't really control and ban you and stuff like that. So I like that because you own the listing.
Yeah, that is one of the best things about Furnish Finder is when you find a tenant and you make a direct booking, you're not going to pay that percentage fee. You're going to keep all of the rent for yourself. I also like what you said about the management. It's like long-term is so little. It's so hands-off. And short-term is so, so, so hands-on. You would think that midterm is kind of right there in the middle. Like if it's maybe half the work of a short-term rental. But like you said, with like Sarah will be across the world. And of course she has help. But last summer, my family and I, we went to Europe we were gone for 2 weeks, and I left my sister and I was like, everybody, here's my sister's phone number. Tara, if anybody calls, just put out the fire. I got back and I was like, how'd it go? She goes, I didn't hear from anyone. Like,
wow.
It's so nice because these people, like you said, like if they've been displaced from their home or they're traveling for work, like they're not looking to be super needy. They're just looking to find a place to call home for a while. So I think that's awesome. Let's talk a little bit about how you have designed and implemented the shift from long-term or short-term to mid-term for some of these. So like, tell us a little bit about your furnishing process or how you systematize that, things that you make sure you put in any property, any little tips or tricks you want to share there.
Yeah, it's definitely my wheelhouse. After doing this 9 times in 13 months, I got really good at it. And when I start to have to repeat myself in anything of things I'm doing or saying to somebody, that's when I start to write things down or record it. And so I got a whole checklist. And I'd recommend you do the same. I'd recommend you could find these online. You can probably Google furnished checklists. There's probably tons of them out there.
That's where I got mine when I got started. I found 3 on Pinterest and I built my list from there.
There you go. Now, I did find in my – this is years – like a couple years ago, but I did find in my experience that it didn't cover everything. There was always like a few things that were like, oh, well, this is – hold on. Why? Of course we need this. So I would say it depends on your goals, but our goals is, like I said, to systematize, scale, keep it profitable, keep it growing. Because if we get more cash flow, we're able to pay for, you know, assistance to help with all the daily, you know, I've got a whole list of vendors from all 3 areas that we invest in, from OC to Inland Empire to the Nashville area. I have realtors, plumbers, electricians, etc. It's all there. So they can make a quick phone call, 2-3 emails, go out, give me a quote. That's actually happening right now. And all I got to do is clickety clack and I'm done. I love that. And I'm trying to get it more to that place. But yeah, so essentially the checklist is really, really key if you're looking to do it more than once. Okay. And then you're going to have to adjust it every time. And it was great was whenever we started getting the Nashville area, we found somebody who volunteered to help us with it. Of course, we were paying them for it. But man, that's like 3 weeks of like intensity off my plate. And I'm so grateful that we got it. It's well worth the money and it was very easy. All I had to do was have a phone call, a couple emails. Here's my checklist. Here's a bit of a referral of like the kind of items I tend to get, some Amazon links or what have you. Here's some basic ideas, like say, spend a little bit more on the beds, spend more on anything that's getting used more.
Some high traffic items.
Boom. Yeah. And like, you know, if you've got some like, I don't know, something that never really gets touched except for maybe it's dusted once a month. You don't have to spend too much, but there's a middle line to be had there at the same time. Like I've seen some, you know, really cheap looking like plants and it, you know, you kind of want to find that middle ground. And honestly, the more you spend up front on just like really going that next level and put your heart into it, people are going to see that. People are going to respond to it, review you appropriately. It's going to photograph better, which is 90% of your marketing done for you if you really know what you're doing and set it up. And if I could, dare I say, even in the year 2023, I would recommend having a female or somebody who is just very good with that kind of – they have that kind of bug in them, that gene. Once I started having my mom help me, she would help me to see things and kind of like put these neat little like – more home kind of touches to things, which I thought was great because I kind of started to fall into the trap like most Airbnb hosts do or furnished finder or just furnished rental hosts do, which is you kind of just get it done, but it's a little sterile. And that I definitely fell into that trap a little bit, but we were going at such a hard rate that I kind of almost
and
had
the
to.
Great thing is we have the Furnished Finder marketing director with us as our co-host on this podcast. Katie, what do you want to add to the conversation?
I mean, I think you're right. You don't want to look sterile. You want to have something to stand out. Marketing is all about getting attention these days. And a lot of times I think people forget that marketing is any way that you are communicating with a customer or a potential customer, right? And as property owners and investors, that's our tenants. So everything you're doing from the way that your listing looks to the art you have on the wall to how you handle a repair request or anything like that, your communication is a part of your marketing. All of that, any type of potential interaction is all marketing, right? And you can't underestimate any of it. So I think that's hugely valuable. And anytime you can help your property stand out a little bit, it's definitely going to help you in the long run.
Episode 37 with Katie Lyon gives you all you need to know marketing tips about Furnish Finder. The other things that you can add on Furnish Finder is go to the Property Owner Resource tab. There are a ton of valuable things in there, such as how to set up your photos. There's an ebook that tells you how to get your home ready for travel nurses and digital nomads and the like corporate travelers using Furnish Finder. How to avoid scams. There's a lot of great tools on under that Furnish Finder Property Owner Resource tab. So let's get into just a few last things in regards to the marketing. I've seen a huge push lately on professional photos with the TVs. They're no longer black screens on the wall. Now they've got these dynamic blue and green, you know, really tropical island type photos a lot of times as part of the professional living room photos, bedroom photos. But what we haven't talked about is how do you get the right screensaver on the TV and get it to stay? Because I know a lot of TVs rotate pictures. So how do you guys accomplish that?
In our best performing unit, nearly a 5-on-5, booked up premium everything, did a really good job on it. I'm really proud of it. Our photographer took the initiative to edit. I'm giving you guys, this is such a juicy little tip. This is a good
one.
Our photographer, he went in and post and added it. I didn't even ask him, by the way. I'm taking no credit. That's all our guy. He's amazing. He actually just was at our meetup on Monday. Yeah, he's awesome. He did it. And I got the photos back and I was like, oh. And I kind of asked him about it. He's like, oh, yeah, I thought I'd just add a little splash. I was like, so we do that with all of our units now. And it's not cheating. It's not deceptive because initially kind of thought, well, is that – no, it's like it kind of just shows you a little bit of like what to expect. Like it's one thing to have a dead black screen TV. It's another thing to see like somebody swimming or like a little show, which is what that picture is. It's just something that kind of shows off a little bit of the experience. You want to, in your photos, make the person who's looking at it feel like, oh, that's me right there on the couch watching that or enjoying that backyard or right behind me. This is what pulled me to this particular unit was – oh, that view, like good Wi-Fi and a view and a gym downstairs. And I was like, it hit all three for me. This has a 180 view, by the way, which is what I really wanted. And it showed, and they showed it well in the photos. They did a really good job of showing it during the day, at night, and at sunset, right about now, actually, where the sun kind of casts in. They did a good job of that.
And we are a visual society, right? And that's where a professional photographer, you know, I don't care how good you are at taking pictures on your iPhone, a professional photographer will overlay those little things like the images on the TV in 2 seconds, right? Mine have the same, and it's because that's what they do, right? That's what they do day in, day out. It's like everything that you or I do day in and day out. It's what we're experts at, and that's what's representing you and your rental and appealing to these potential tenants. So it's like the one place where you've got to put your best foot forward. But I also love what you're saying about helping a tenant to envision themselves at the property, because that's different than a short-term rental, right? At a short-term rental, you might show a goodie basket and you might show beach towels or a boogie board or a bike, depending on where you're at. When you're talking about a midterm, you might be showing extra bedding or a really big TV, or that you do have a full-fledged kitchen, or look, here's my full-size washer and dryer, things like that. So I'd love to hear what you guys' experience has been between the midterm rental industry and the short term about what you're using to really appeal to guests in the midterm space, maybe, you know, when you're used to coming from short-term side.
Yeah, so what we're starting to do is because we've spent the time and money and patience on building a brand, I don't want to sound arrogant, but it's not that hard for us to raise money. In fact, one of our just to show you the difference between like furnished rental people and like just long-term tenants is one of our investors now is staying with Drew in his main house, right? We got him on to one of the platforms and he was just living there. And he's he sees us going to meetups. He comes and he's like, you guys just own properties? He'd be like, yeah, do this. And so he's now going to be the sole investor to buy the next, you know, I don't know, couple million dollars of real estate, right? So it's just, nice. So now we don't spend too much time trying to figure out, oh, I don't know how to raise, you know, 100 grand. It's not that difficult. But what we do spend is, we don't want to constantly keep feeding our properties, right? So we want to make sure that the properties cash flow. That's why we're going to midterm rentals. That's I don't know if people listening should pay attention to this. Is people usually say, oh, the market stuff, the interest rate's high, right? But if you take any moment in time in history since Jesus, it is always expensive to buy real estate, right? You say they're going to be very competitive or the interest rate's going to be high. If not, then homeless people will live in million-dollar mansions. Like, it doesn't make sense. So you have to figure out what you want to sacrifice in your life to be able to be in that position to be able to buy, because it is always more challenging to buy than rent. That's why it is, home ownership is like a big thing, right? So for us right now, the way that we buy properties is it's kind of like we already know what we're going to do with that property. We don't buy a property and go like, oh, I wonder what we should do. I'm already, you met Vicky, right? She's a OG in Hendersonville. She's the best. She's literally in home goods right now. She's texting me. She's like, hey, I'm buying
Vicky's
this bed.
Vicky's your amazing realtor, right? And is she a Nashville realtor or California realtor?
She's exclusively Hendersonville, Nashville area. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she's lived there for over 20 years. She literally knows everyone. Just to give you an example, along the same questioning you're asking, what we look for in properties and how we are going towards the midterm rental, is this community we are in, they don't even let you do midterm 30 days or anything, right? It's a 6-month minimum, except if it is me, they have written out in a HOA exemption, if my name, Drew's name is involved, we were able to do 30 days or more. And by the way, nobody else in that area can do that. So we're already going into a market where we are the only players in town. Like, you literally cannot do midterm rental except for the three properties in that area of 100 homes, right? So it's already really good. So then other things we look at is, like Drew was talking about, if there's a extra bedroom, can we make it a game room? I'm really into tech stuff. So all the TVs, like you were saying, is like, it's ridiculously overpriced, like best of the line. Like, Drew's TV is like $3,000. Like, he's like, I don't want it. I'm like, I'm buying it. I don't care. And there's like a home theater, because I
just come home and there's just like Best Buy guys there. I'm just like, oh, what's up?
Yeah. They're like drilling holes in his home. He's like, hey, yeah. who let them in? But even the homes that we buy in Hendersonville, you know, I'm not spending obviously $3,000 if Drew's not living in it. You know, I'm not going to do that. But it's still like over $1,000, like these TVs, right? And I'm putting a sound bar, and it looks nice. If you sit on the couch and you watch TV, you're going to feel good, right? So I'm going to make a room catered towards that kind of setup. Like for this four, we have a lot of three bedrooms. All of them are three bedrooms. So this next one we're buying is a four bedroom. Right. So then we can be like, okay, we want to have like maybe like a for kids, you know, like maybe put two twin beds so you can accommodate a lot of people. Right. So these kind of things we can talk about. And how I come up with these is not because I'm a genius. I'll literally call Vicky and annoy her for like 40 minutes until she tells, yes, Vince, I can rent this for $4,000. Nobody else can because it's blocked. I'll be like, okay. And then I'll make the call and be like, okay, let's do the deal. Right. And then in this market, you know, people always talk about, you know, we got to find the value, get the hedge, and, you know, buy the old property with, you know, go put sweat equity. I don't care about any of those things. I'm like, go ahead, you do that. Good for you and your family. I don't care. I want to buy the most expensive, most premium quality, brand new house from the builder, who's, by the way, giving me so much incentives. You're kind of like stupid if you don't buy these houses, right? I just closed the last house. It's only 4.5% for the first year. Second year is 5.5%, and then it's fixed for 28 years at 6.5% with the option to do a refinance for free. It's just crazy, right? So I'm buying these new bills. It's giving me these options, and I'm trying to buy as much as I can while Rob and Vicky help me kind of, you know, rent those things out. So you want to have a team who knows what they're doing. Like, I know Drew's really good in terms of managing properties, but I know he's not going to be as cracked out as my buddy Rob. Like, he's another level. He's literally messaging probably me right now. He's coming to my home to hang his clothes because he's going to Tennessee driving in the snow, because he's like that. He's the guy. He's driving to Tennessee right now he's going to leave his clothes here. He might come and say hi now. But
you like you have your people, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
from your realtor, because you're going to a market that's across the country. So you need that person who is the local absolute expert. You have that. And then you're also making these smart decisions with capital and playing the market and knowing that like we're never going to hit a time where it's like, oh, look, it's the perfect time to invest and all the properties are dirt cheap and it's a 2% interest rate because that's not going to happen. And at yeah. the same time, like you can always pivot. Like you said, like you're setting yourself up in the future where you can take a short term and make it a midterm if you need to. You can take a long term and furnish it. You can refinance yeah. down the road. And to me, those are like the recurring themes I keep hearing from you guys is like yeah. pivoting where you need to, having a really yep. good team and letting people do what they're best at, right? Which is really a recipe for success.
Yeah. And we're actually really in the early stages of a hard pivot. After about 5 years, we're just going 10x and what's going really well for us in this Nashville area, because it's just the team, cash flow, all that I was talking about. And what I see us doing, especially as raising capital gets easier and easier, is to create a room that maybe has a bunk bed. Now you've got some space to create, perhaps it's a desk or a little play area. I'm trying to appeal to like just nice families who need a place to stay for a few months, maybe a year. Maybe they love it so much they extend, which is always a big compliment. And so my goal is to really like deliver on like what would feel like a wonderful home. Little something to distract the kiddos so the parents can have their time. Nice TVs, that's a Vince thing for sure. Like he's putting in like quality sound bar. So it's like these things that are that also photograph well, but you can put them in the marketability and like what's happening when you're putting in your furnished finder bio, like, oh, by the way, subwoofer and all this stuff. But then I'm hoping to even over deliver. And I actually am looking to do a little like gift basket, even though they're going to be there for 6 months. I want it to be a nice surprise where they show up. It's a bottle of wine and a little cheese, whatever, you know what I'm saying? And I just want it to be like, and I was even saying handwritten card, you know, like have our cleaner just write a little thing. Here's the name. Maybe it's a standard kind of like scripted. You can just process it over and over. You just tell them, here's the name. It's Monica. She's checking in on the first. Give her a little boop. Hey, Monica, can't wait. Love to host you. Enjoy this bottle of wine. It's one of our favorites from the local, whatever. You know how like insanely impactful that's going to be right out the get-go? So like if for any reason something does happen, like, oh my goodness, there's a leak or something, they're going to have way more patience with you because they're like, well, these guys are obviously doing things at this level. They already have gone kind of above and beyond, and it gives you a lot more leeway if there are issues. And by the way, there will almost always be some kind of issue, which is another reason why we're moving into midterm from a shorter term, because it's just, wow. When you get to about 9 properties and you're doing all short term, good luck. It's nonstop. I'd be answering the phone at 11:30 at night. I'd be in San Diego, 2 Jack and Cokes deep with a couple friends I'd seen forever. And just, we're just having a good time. And I have to answer my phone because this tenant can't find the property.
This is a great transition to the numbers, because the numbers and truly passive opportunities. So one thing we led with is that you guys have assets under management that not only do you have, I'm sure, some of your own properties, but you manage properties and have equity partners that come in and help you build your portfolio. So reminders that, you know, 10 million in assets under management, and y'all have grown that to 25 doors. So anyone that thinks, you know, I'm very interested in this midterm rental strategy, but I just don't really want to put in the effort or the work, you can totally be an equity partner. And on YouTube, we have a playlist that's about passive income. I change the name sometimes, but right now it's called Midterm Passive Income Partners. And they are midterm furnished finder midterm rental hosts from all around the country that also manage properties and can help you find the right property to buy in that area, so that then they're managing it for you. So you guys do this. So let's get into, you know, what does that look for you guys? What do you offer to your equity partners or your clients that come in and want you to manage for them?
Okay. Well, if you need numbers, you found the Asian in the group who's super... in terms of numbers. So this is like my wheelhouse that I really enjoy doing. So do you want to, what would you like to know? Do you want to know how we structure it?
Yeah. Yeah. Like give listeners that are considering passive opportunities, you know, why they would consider investing with you.
Yeah. Sounds good. So how we do it is we do. So my background is in engineering, obviously. So these math stuff is like a joke for me in Excel, right? So it's not that hard to do. But how I really understood how this works is I spent a year underwriting multifamily deals and how they structure like the LPs and the GPs, which is limited partners and general partners, and how they structure it up and then how they do the, you know, cash flow and all those things. So I took a lot of what I learned, and that's exactly how we structure our single family deals. So we only buy 1, 2, 3, 4 units. So they're all single family deals, and we put fixed rate debt on every single property we have. We do not play anything with variable rate. I don't care. I will pay the premium. It's fixed for 30 years. If something happens in 10 years, don't care. It's fixed, right? It's all, if I can manage it in year one, I know I can manage it in year 10 when the rents are higher. And then, you know, I've refinanced it twice, right? So that's the number one. But the way we do the deals is if Drew and I don't have money and we don't just own it by ourselves, we do it what is called a 60-40 split. So the 60% of our partnership and the equity goes to the limited partner, right? And we are doing only JV. So it's not even like a structure, like a LPGP structure. And then we keep 40%, and then everything is split 60-40. We charge like a very small 5% management fee because there's always something going on. And then all the profits are split 60-40, and we take care of everything management-wise. Finding the property, acquiring the asset, furnishing it, interior designing it, running the cost segregation studies, paying for it, and then sending out the distributions and also the taxes, like how everybody should split it. The reason I structure it in terms of tenants in common is if the property sells, you can do your own thing with your money and I can 1031. I cannot. I can do whatever I want. So I do that way. It's a easier pie to slice like that. And our big ticket thing that I do is most people will usually kick you out when you do the refinance and they keep the property. We do not do that. What we do is all of the money when we do a refinance goes 100-0 split to the partners and not us. And then if there's anything remaining, we split it. If not, everything goes back to them and they still hold 60% of the whole asset. Their equity does not get diluted at all. So this way, you know, we build a business of very long-term thinking people. And once you understand it, you're like, wait, so we don't do anything and 3 to 5 years, we get all of our money back and you still hold on to properties, right? So we've already done this a few times with my sister, my buddy Steve, and, you know, JK and a lot of these guys. So they kind of understand how it works. So it's just like very long-term planning. So we've already figured that one out. So now right now it's just like what Drew was saying, we're going after the short-term cash flow because, I mean, to be honest, frank with you guys, the only reason we are able to keep up this madness of like so much expenses is because Drew and I make $250,000, $300,000 together a year. And we are dumping, you know, all of our excess money that we're saving into the properties to kind of make them not go into foreclosure per se, right? So right now, it used to be about we were losing $20,000 to $30,000 a month last year when all the pandemic stuff was going. We've right
with
now,
your long-term rentals?
The whole portfolio combined, but mostly long-term and people not paying rents and stuff like that, or the repairs, whatever. We've for the last 3 months, it's about $5,000 or less. So that's, you know, like a couple of grand for Drew and I at this point in our life is not that hard. We could do that forever, but we don't want to, you know, because I want to make money, right? But I was doing the math the other day, Drew. So we spend $5,000 of a cash flow a month. But if you assume 5% inflation, right, you're looking at close to $50,000 in appreciation a month. So you're paying $5,000 to get $50,000. I will take that bet all day.
Well, and it's like, you know, if you guys are in the middle of this big shift too, right? Like all that stuff kind of takes time to pan out, and these transitions take time to happen. But it's not a get rich quick thing, and it's very dependent on your goals. And as your goals shift, and maybe going from like appreciation to a cash flow model, like it takes some time for the seed to settle down and your portfolio to adjust to that, right? And everything new to get going. But I think this is great. You guys have presented so many amazing things. This is where we would typically, you know, ask about kind of what some of your best tips and experiences would be in using Furnish Finder. But I think with you guys, you know, just still kind of transitioning and making that entrance into midterm, I think really the best takeaways are those ways to stand out and those ways to find the best partners. And whether that's your cleaner or your realtor, or your property manager, or someone who is in a joint venture with you, I think that is a huge takeaway. And also making sure that those distinguishing things you do to your property or you do as a host are reflected on your listing, right? Which is just, that's your like miniature website, right? Is your listing. So you've got to take advantage of it.
Yeah, it's not that hard. It's business. Business is simple when you understand it. It's simply creating a product or service so great that it spreads by word of mouth. Now, any marketing you do on top of that, of course, is great. Now, in this case, it'd be like reviews on the Furnish Finder site. Like, oh, there's like 25-star reviews. This must be great. So obviously, you know, playing for that. But I think just as important is to try to over-deliver on what you promise, wow people. That way it encourages them to leave those 5-star reviews, to tell their friends about, to come back next year. And if something does happen, they're like, well, they've already gave us the bottle of wine. I guess that leak's not a big deal. They got it fixed in 2 days. Like, holy cow. So obviously, you know, going that extra mile is huge. But the biggest thing really is just find the one thing that you really are good at and or are passionate about. Usually they're the same, because if you're really passionate about it, you'll just keep going. That just like you'll fail until you're just like one of the best at it. Kind of find your lane at what on how you can serve something. In this case, it's a business. And then hire or incentivize people to crush it on everything else that you're not doing well. That if I go in, I have a professional $3,000 between the lens and the camera. I have a great camera. I could be doing my own photos. I don't do my own photos.
They'll never look as good as professional photos.
They just won't. They just won't. I have to put in hours of dedication to find out like, oh, if you tweak the, I don't even know the terminology anymore. I went through a rabbit hole right there. But no, just basically find what you're really good at. Hire everything else out as soon as you can. Yep. Now, when you're starting off, I understand you might have to wear a lot of hats, and I respect that. And I think maybe you should at first, but immediately start getting help, especially in your weakest areas. And that is all to say, that's everything for business, from having a furnished rental through Furnish Finder to having a music school, right? And so for me, I'm super grateful for those platforms. I think what Furnish Finder does better than others is a lot of the other platforms are very like squeamish and very like controlling and like don't want you to share contact info. And they're like, they'll flag you for things. Furnish Finder's like, pay a one-time fee. Have at it. You know, now the only disadvantage being if we're being forthright is that you have to go hunt though. That's what it is. So make sure that when you're launching on Furnish Finder, get in there and hunt and get in there and talk to people and like, oh, this is a perfect match. You got to reach out to them. And that was one of the biggest mistakes that I made when we first launched it on the Furnish Finder. I was like, well, what's happening? And then I realized, oh, you got to go out and you eat what you kill. And it's, you got to start this ball first.
Well, this has been such a great conversation with you guys. I want to wrap up with, not only are you real estate investors, you raise your own capital, you manage properties. You also decided to start a podcast, the RE Social podcast. What, and you have full-time jobs. What led you to take on that challenge on top of, you know, everything else in real estate?
We don't like to sleep.
It sounds like it.
It's interesting. That's a good question. So what we found was, you know, when Drew and I first started, you know, talking to people, you know, about, we're like, we're so excited. We're like, oh my God, this is great. And then it's like, it even says this in the Bible somewhere, like you can only talk to people who have their ears open or something. I'm paraphrasing. Like if they're not ready to take in information, they're not going to be useful, right? So, and I am so cracked out on like only being valuable to people. And if I know you're not going to find me valuable, I will immediately block you and delete you from everything. I don't care. I don't want to be around you at all, right? So yeah, I'm just not interested in talking to you because I don't want to spend my time talking to you if you're not on the same level, right? So it's the opposite of what people think. People think, oh, I'm just like a dick, like, oh, this guy just doesn't want to talk to me because I'm not valuable. But it's the opposite because I want to be valuable to people who need it, right? So we decided that, okay, I have no interest to talk to people who don't have interest. So we decided to start a podcast, and also the meetup is the same name, RE Social Meetup, right? So we have people coming to us and asking us questions, and they will be like, okay, so because now we're serving a purpose, right? It costs us a lot of money. We spend like $10,000 to $20,000 a year for the meetups, the dinners, and podcast, you know, all those things. But, you know, we've raised a lot of money doing that stuff, but it's not really to just raise money, but it's just to, you know, for me, it's all about helping. I come from a middle-class family in India, and I really like middle-class people. So I always go after them. Like, I want to help them do something either with us or without us. I don't care. So that's really why we started it. We wanted to help people who are looking for something, because I am not interested in trying to help people who don't want help. Like, I'm not that guy. I'm not going to be the motivation guy. Like, oh, let me talk to you. I don't care. Like, don't do it. Like, who cares? But if you're interested, I'll try to help you.
Yeah. So what Vince is saying, because he tends to be very just like, he just kind of cuts right through it. And I have to explain, no, he's actually an amazing guy. He's trying to help everybody. It's just he'll see if you're wasting his time very quickly, because he just doesn't, I mean, we're getting older. Let's call it what it is. And he brings such an insane amount of value to my life, especially, but to anybody who partners with us, who will tell you the same thing. They all are friends of ours. They all come to all of our meetups and our Taco Tuesdays. We're, you know, they all are seeing that. And so what he's saying is, you don't see that, bye. I don't have the energy for you, you know? And I think that's the way you should live your life in general, is to know your worth, know your value. If someone's not seeing that, it's all good. Move on.
No hard feelings, but it's not a match.
Yeah. And that goes for a podcast too. So if you've made it this far, then you are loving the Landlord Diaries, and we appreciate that. And I'm sure you're also enjoying the conversation with Vince and Andrew. So if you look at the show notes, you'll be able to connect with these guys on their link tree is going to be the main, I think the main link we'll have in the show notes. But any other ways you guys would like them to connect with you?
IG will be good. On We Invest, one word.
There you go. Okay. Well, thanks for listening. We'll see you again next week, hopefully. Check out those YouTube playlists if you want to hear about specific midterm rental topics. And if you're loving our show, we would absolutely love your 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can comment on what you'd like to hear about on YouTube, or you can share it with a friend and have someone to talk about the Landlord Diaries with. Thanks for being here. We'll see y'all next week. Bye.